Invest in your home. Dave Ramsey here for Low Country Contractors. Now's a great time to enhance your home with that new dream kitchen, bath, or addition. I trust Low Country Contractors. They've been voted Best Home Improvement and Remodeling Contractor by Mount Pleasant Magazine, voted Top Remodeler in South Carolina by Remodeling Magazine, and they have a 98% customer satisfaction rating from Guild Quality. Folks, this is a no-brainer. Visit lowcountrycontractors.com.
Hi everyone, Andy here. This is a special announcement for folks who listen to the show via Spotify. You can now support the pod directly through Spotify for less than the price of a coffee each month, giving you ad-free content, no sponsorships, early access and bonus shows as well. So many of you have chosen to support the show through Patreon and Apple Premium, and I appreciate this has been a long time coming for Spotify listeners. Just search That UFO Podcast Premium in Spotify, or click the link in this description for this announcement. I am working my way through to upload the entire back catalogue with no sponsors or advertising in there, and you can already listen to the latest interview with ex-CIA officer John Ramirez and some of our popular AMAs, with a new one of those coming soon just for premium members. Otherwise, Apple Premium is still available with a 2-week free trial as well, again from less than the price of a coffee, or you can sign up for Patreon for the additional benefits that come with those tiers. Again, thank you to everyone who supports the podcast and just listens to the shows. Lots of great content to come.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the ASA. Oh my gosh. They're all going against the wind.
It was basically a cube with inside of sphere where the points of the cube were touching outside of the sphere.
So this isn't anything that just is limited to the United States. It's a worldwide phenomenon.
That UFO Podcast is powered by Zencastr. Zencastr is one of the world's leading platforms for recording and hosting podcasts. The open beta strives to put the power of studio quality remote video production into the hands of anyone with a story to tell. Features include HD video recording, studio quality sound, chat and footnotes. All running right from your browser so you can record from anywhere without ever installing anything. Check out the links in the show description to find out more.
This is James Fox and you're listening to That UFO Podcast.
Well, you've made quite an impact in a short time in the community, and that shows with the strength of the questions that have come through for you. And hopefully I've managed to get a good selection of them here, because there were so many more that I had to leave out for all sorts of reasons. The first question comes from Charlie, and Charlie wants to know that you mentioned Luis Elizondo can't say the word hybrids.
Yes.
Is this coming from a place of connecting the dots with information that's already in public, or are you using gained knowledge from your previous role?
Gain knowledge from previous role. This is the one of the pieces of information, a very critical piece, that I need to get back to CIA and have them approve. Because in order to have any credibility, I need to name names. And these are senior CIA officers. I don't have permission to name their names. So if I get back and say, here's where I was, here's where this meeting occurred, an approximate time frame, because I don't have the exact month and date, but I believe I have a year. It's about 2001, I believe. Could be 2002, but I think 9/11 was about to happen. It did not happen yet. So I'm putting it at summer of 2001, before 9/11, in the fall of 2001, before September, I did receive some information officially. I was with witnesses that received this information, and I need to lay out the groundwork for how that information came to me. So that's what I can say now.
No, I appreciate that, John. Next question from Gareth. When you were working for the CIA, did you ever hear anything about Bob Lazar, and what do you think of his story?
Let me preface, going back to your previous question, here's a hint. In order to do this, as well as get permission to, you know, name names, I am still waiting for, and I had requested CIA to provide me with medical records of an examination done by CIA doctors. So that's a teaser with the hybrid question. There's nice. Something interesting that occurred medically that CIA doctors did treat me for and maybe extracted from. So I need to get that. And that's not a FOIA. CIA officers have a way of communicating with CIA, and we can just say, here, can I say this? The shortcut. And I'm sorry to interrupt your other question.
No, no.
Luis Elizondo?
The next one was on Bob Lazar. Had you heard anything while working at the CIA?
You know how I heard about Bob Lazar? On Coast to Coast AM. With Art Bell as the host.
Sure.
I think he was on with John Lear. Mm-hmm. And that's when I first heard Bob Lazar. So other than that, I didn't know who Bob Lazar was from anyone. In fact, Coast to Coast AM, back in the day, before everyone were doing these podcasts and before Twitter, that was the primary source of a lot of information that we in CIA got. In fact, we could tell who were true, saying who they were, and who were false, who were imposters, just listening to the first 10 minutes of whatever came out of their mouths. But Bob Lazar, that's how I learned. So I don't know him. And so I give everyone a benefit of the doubt until I can talk to them face to face. And kind of in my own way, be a judge of what they're saying, their veracity. I just have to, it's one of those things I hold very lightly. I embrace widely everything.
Yeah.
Some things you just got to hold lightly and be able to drop. And he's one of them. I don't know.
Are there any aspects of his story that you find particularly interesting?
He tells a story about the sports model, one of the craft that he worked on called the sports model. He talks about these gravity amplifiers or gravity amplifiers. And he talked about this was the one he tested, and there were other, like, did he say nine craft?
Nine.
They were like shot through, like they were damaged. He tells that story in a place called S4. I find that to be interesting. I cannot discount, and no one should, that people have gone to Reagan, Nevada, or gone close to the Groom Lake facility. Detachment 3, U.S. Air Force Flight Test Center, that's the official name of Edwards Air Force Base, that went there, and they've seen craft that have remarkable aerodynamic properties.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's eyewitnesses. Some people have videotaped that, actually filmed it. So, you know, there's something going on there. But as far as Mr. Lazar's personal involvement, how do I know? How does anyone know? Either you believe him or you don't believe him. But as far as there might be something advanced of an aerodynamic nature, people have witnessed that. So we can't discount that.
Sure. Next one is from Trevor. And Trevor wants to know, have you seen the Skinny Bob video? And do you have any intel on its authenticity?
I have not seen the Skinny Bob video, so I can't address that. But here's something, homework for me.
Yeah, I can send you a link to that. It's have you ever heard of it, John?
I know of Skinny Bob.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know the video.
And when you say you know of Skinny Bob, I'm going to have to follow up. Is that because you've heard of Skinny Bob actually existing in some sort of facility, or is that just you've heard of rumors of the video?
Rumors of his existence. I've never seen a video.
Okay, that's an interesting one. Anything more to follow up on that you can, or is that just you've heard rumors?
I don't know in what context Skinny Bob has with this. I've heard that name associated with this entire phenomenon. I don't know if he was ex-government, experiencer, I don't know. I've just been on Twitter. I mean, does he have a Twitter account? I don't know.
It's a video of a gray alien type being. filmed pretty old-fashioned style.
Yeah.
And the nickname of it is Skinny Bob, but it's never been discounted or been proven to be a hoax. If it's genuine, it's pretty stunning footage, but I think the quality of the footage more than likely points to it not being genuine, or it's one of those, like you say, that's put out there as a control rod to test if this is in the public domain and it's genuine. But I'll get that link over to you, John, and you can have a look for yourself.
I have another side comment about that related to that. At CIA, there's the director of operations became the National Clandestine Service, NCS. So these are the real spies who go overseas, right?
Yeah. And
recruit agents to work for us. So these real spies were led by an officer named Jose Rodriguez. Jose Rodriguez. On his retirement in the bubble or the auditorium, if you look at pictures of CIA, you'll see a domed building. That's the auditorium. We call it the bubble. At his retirement ceremony, the other senior officers, as they were sending him off, mentioned the fact that his nickname in CIA was J-Rod. And J-Rod is the name, allegedly, of a Roswell crash survivor. It survived a little bit. And so they called this guy, who was very senior in CIA, J-Rod. And everyone was laughing as if it was an inside joke. So I'll leave you with that. I don't know how to follow up with that, but...
No, thanks. And I've sent you over that YouTube link for afterwards. You can check that out during happy hour and share your thoughts if you like. Diana had a couple of questions. Do you think that what we are seeing and experiencing of the phenomena is in any way related to what's described in ancient religious writings?
Ancient writings?
So she's getting at, you know, Buddhist or Vedic beliefs of how consciousness evolved, or even going back to like the Bible when we hear of, you know, angels versus demons. Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the Vedic writings. I am familiar with the Bible. And it's just, you just look at, here they are crossing the desert. Is it 40 years crossing the desert? And they were fed by a cloud-like vehicle, I would call it, dropping food and supplies to them from this cloud-like glowing vehicle. And receiving instructions on how to communicate with this vehicle, and that the priests have to wear certain garments that tend to appear to have some kind of material to protect them from electricity or electric charges, so they would not be conduits. They were insulated, and so this vehicle they made had metal in it, and a lot of it is like an allegory, but the idea was that if you didn't have these garments, if you weren't a priest and you touched it, you died immediately because it was probably charged in some way. But these priests would like put it in the Holy of Holies, you know, and only they can talk to the whoever is up in the cloud.
Yeah.
That's a vehicle. I mean, there's like stories of the transfiguration. There are stories of Jesus before the crucifixion. He went to the Mount of Olives, and that some of the disciples witnessed that two prophets beamed down and were talking to Jesus, and they were enveloped in some kind of light. There's stories of the messengers of God or angels coming to talk to people, like Abraham, and they knew on sight that these were not human. And they said, no, they're from God. So, I mean, the Bible's full of all kinds of allegories that tend to, support that.
Absolutely.
I would love to rewrite. Somebody needs to rewrite that from a UAP perspective. You know, a theologian who is a believer needs to rewrite a translation for the rest of us that we can read. It's the greatest, it'll be the greatest science fact story ever written.
I think even if it's not written, an audiobook would be great for some of us who don't have the time to read. So yeah, there's something to do for 2022. Diana also asks, John, do you think the recent tensions with Russia and China could have anything to do with the USA getting closer to disclosing what they know about the UAP phenomenon?
I think there might be other terrestrial reasons for that. tension. I don't think it's related to UAPs necessarily. If anything, I would hope that aside from the UAP issue, that we were able to find some common ground in solving our differences. I know Russia is very concerned about, for example, its former Eastern Bloc countries joining NATO. They do not want that to happen. They're concerned about Poland accepting the Patriot surface air missile system, which the Russians consider a threat to them. So there are a lot of terrestrial kind of reasons for China. It tends to be driven by economic concerns and Taiwan. And in fact, President Biden, according to our news service, CNN, I saw a blurb on CNN that President Biden made a statement that we would not defend Taiwan. That tends to play into what the Chinese wanted to hear. So I think it's very interesting. And again, I said before that the CIA and the Chinese have worked closely together in spying on the Russians, providing the Chinese with technology. You talk about an unintended consequence. We provided them with extremely sophisticated computers. We provided them with, well, as you know, in the UK, there's Minwith Hill, a big NSA GCHQ facility. And we basically built a small copy of Minwith Hill all over China in various places to spy on the Soviet Union. So we had close cooperation with the Chinese. I don't know what that cooperation might have been after 2009, because I left CIA. Yeah. But definitely, apparently in 2017, rather, during the previous administration, all that got canned. As we said, that was damaged considerably. And I believe the U.S. government is trying to repair some of that relationship. So, I mean, my iPhone is still made in China, you know?
Yeah.
money
talks.
You know, I mean, you don't have tensions with your best customers because they are a producer nation and the United States is more and more a consumer nation. And so we need each other.
Next question, John, was from Newman. And Newman wants to know, what are your thoughts on Skinwalker Ranch?
I heard about Skinwalker Ranch again through Coast to Coast AM, through guest appearances by Robert Bigelow with like George Nuri. I mean, that was quite the topic of seeing these various manifestations of very disturbing manifestations occurring. I would say this, that now that the government officially has stated that there's disturbing manifestations of the phenomenon with a capital P. And let me preface by saying that in government, everything you know, the craft, the beings, the light beings, the, you know, whatever the channelers provide, the experiencers, all the disturbing aspects, like we see at Skinwalkers, is labeled under the big phenomenon with a capital P. So there are disturbing aspects of that phenomenon that are difficult to explain. I hope that the government continue to investigate that. One thing I would add that for a long time, I didn't think that anything to do with Dolce, New Mexico was legitimate. I thought, you know, okay, somebody made that up, Dolce, New Mexico, what's there? You know, that doesn't see anybody there. But strangely enough, in Dr. Lukatsky's book, Skinwalkers of the Pentagon, he mentioned that one of the candidate sites to put more sensors is Dolce, New Mexico. Mm-hmm. If you look at the UFO literature, you know, there's been reportings of an alien presence at Dolce, New Mexico, and even as far as to say that there was some kind of conflict between humans and that presence in Dolce, New Mexico. And I used to dismiss that. Now I can't do that anymore because in the book it says there's something at Dolce, New Mexico we need to take a closer look at. So, yeah, I mean, it's very this hitchhiker phenomenon is very disturbing.
And I recommend the book as well that you've mentioned, John. I've got a copy of it just there, Skinwalkers at the Pentagon.
Do not do what I did. Read it at night.
Yeah, well, I spoke to Colm and George, two of the authors, just a few weeks ago, so that was nice to speak to them about the book as well, and some fascinating stories, again, that came from that. So yeah, definitely check that one out, folks. Kelly has a question that I would have asked you, but when I saw Kelly asking it, I thought I would credit her. Yeah. What is your current idea as to what the phenomenon may be?
I think, for myself, I have to break it down into three categories. And this is just to keep myself sane and wrap my mind around it. The part that was documented by the work of Bigelow prior to the DIA showing up, but you know, Robert Bigelow had his other effort to investigate Skinwalker. And then with the current, the most recent DIA manifestations of what they collected, this disturbing aspect. So I call that the strangers, because I don't know, I personally can't explain it. So I just call it the strangers. They're manifesting in ways that I can't explain that seem very disturbing. So I call that the strangers. That middle category, I call the visitors. And I truly believe that there are beings that are visiting us and that they're manifesting themselves to us. People see craft. People see metallic craft flying over our skies. People have encounters that experiencers will relate to. So these are the visitors. And also the channelers talk about the Pleiadians, the Arcturans, coming here to help us. You have those manifestations under that label of visitors. They're from not here. But then the more controversial one is I call the residents, that they were here before we were, mm-hmm. and that they may have had some contribution to enhancing or accelerating our evolution and the fact that they may still be here. And so I call those the residents. So we have strangers, visitors, and residents. The most interesting are the residents, because what I would like to know, and I don't know, but I would like to know if our government, the U.S. government, your government in UK or Russia or China, do have these governments around the world interacted with these residents in any way? And because that would like overturn our comfort zone to how we developed, that's the real secret that are keeping quiet, because we have to like talk about ETs first, and Avril Haines mentioned that word, and then maybe we can jump toward hints that 70,000 years ago, as Louis said, that some intervention occurred to enhance our DNA, and that maybe that those who enhanced our DNA are still concerned about what they did. They didn't leave. They're still watching over us. And in my mind, when I see them, I see Saurians, what people call reptilian. I don't like to use that word. I see Saurians. Other people see mantis beings and other manifestations of these beings. Maybe some of them are from visitors elsewhere, but maybe some of them are still from here. So I call those residents. And that's the only way I can like put it together. Because you can't just go from like one to the other. You can't throw away the nuts and bolts and accept just the experiencers. Vice versa, you can't just accept the experiencers and the channelers and then throw away the nuts and bolts. And you know, that's,
you're right.
That's a huge battle in this community. We're just tearing each other apart, talking about things like that, instead of like sharing and accepting that there may be some credence to the other person's experience with this phenomenon, you know.
Yeah, and you're right, that conversation for the mainstream and the 99%, the general public, it's easier to accept the confirmation one day of, look, we found alien life on Mars or Venus or some mm-hmm. other planet in the solar system, or even to capture a picture of a flying saucer that's coming in from space. that we see in all the Hollywood movies, as opposed to, look, we aren't alone on this planet. There's something else. That would terrify people. That, regardless what folks say, that would terrify the general public.
And I think that's the reason why, one of the reasons why in 2017, those three videos were released. I'm hoping for more videos. The residents, my hypothesis about the residents is kind of, in my mind, in just my mind, not officially my mind, is supported by the fact that some of these craft emerge out of and emerge back into the water.
Yeah.
And pole to pole kind of sightings. I'll say this. I would like to do a FOIA to the government to get the 100, forgetting about the balloon, the 144th, throw that away, the 143 pieces of evidence that the government has collected. You know what's missing from that? Dates and times. You know, like 2004, that's the only date we have. 2004, November 12th, 2004, tic-tac. And we have the others, the other two. We have dates and times, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's three. That's three. So how about the 140 of the others? Give me the dates and times so that we can correlate. Where did you see this and when did it occur? So that people who may have experienced these craft in their own way can say, oh, that's the one I saw. And I think that's very important, because some of these, I think, are like coming from the earth and going back into the earth, or coming out of the water and going back into the water.
John, I'm sure you're reading my questions, because the next listener question was from Obi, and Obi wanted to know, do you know any terms people can use for FOIA that could help crack this whole thing open? Is there anything specifically people should write or use as a keyword when they're writing these?
Depends on who you're writing to, depending on what agency you're writing to. Like a lot... NGA is probably, I'm not NGA's favorite person, because I reveal that NGA is the intelligence agency that people should send FOIAs to, because they collect the video, they collect the imagery, they collect the infrared, they collect the visual evidence. For example, we never say satellite. No, we say National Technical Means, MTM. We never say documents. We say IIR. IR stands for imagery intelligence report. It's not just, they're not going to give you pictures. They're not going to give you pictures. The imagery they have will reveal how well we can image this planet from space, from low Earth orbit. It is phenomenal. I revealed that commercial, unclassified Maxar technologies is 25 centimeters maximum. The government allows 25 centimeters per pixel from over 600 kilometers in the sky.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, take your ruler out and measure 25 centimeters square, and then put something on that 25 centimeters square, and then go straight up over 600 kilometers and be able to see that on the ground. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's unclassified. You can imagine classified is way better than that, way better than that. And that's all I can say about how well the U.S. government can collect imagery. They're not going to give you that kind of imagery, but there are commercial satellites. So I would ask for, like, forget about asking for commercial satellite imagery or anything like that. They're not going to give you that. What you want is the imagery intelligence report regarding any UAP activity that the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency may have disseminated. And then that might be a starting point. I'm working with, like, independent people to help with their language. I did one on crop circles already. I might just throw that out as an example of how to use that language.
Excellent. No, thank you for that. That's a good one. Thanks, yeah. Obi. That was a good question.
Yeah.
John, I had a question from Tam, and Tam wanted to know, why do you think the Air Force is insisting on avoiding the UAP conversation at the moment?
I don't know if they are. If anything, the Air Force is resisting, I think, any exploitation of this phenomenon to reverse engineer some marvelous technology that they're holding back and they're going to use in case they need it, break glass in case of fire and pull the handle. I think they're reserving that. I use that example of the stealth aircraft. The plans for it were received in 1969 from a Soviet mathematician. And in 1970, they were like starting to work in the 70s, starting to work on what you saw in 1990. So the F-117 stealth fighter, which is not really much of a fighter since it doesn't carry any weapons except bombs, and it can't, it's vulnerable to being attacked by another fighter. But stealth fighter, for example, you saw in 1990 during the first Gulf War, that thing's been flying for at least a couple of, maybe a decade and a half, when Skunk Works actually produced it and started flying it out of Area 51. So that's what they're hiding. They're reluctant to talk about any exploitation of technology that may have come not from this earth, let's say. As far as everything else, I think they're going to be more and more able to share now that the DIA has sort of broken the ice, describing rectangular craft that witnesses have seen. It's in the Lakatsky book. You can read about rectangular craft, about orbs. You can read all about that. And so with that being said, I think the future is that they will be more able to release information, especially U.S. Space Force, because they are responsible for everything from the end of the atmosphere, near space where space begins, and on up. So I would look to U.S. Space Force actually being the one more able to talk about in the future.
Well, speaking of looking up further, Tam also wanted to know, what can you tell us about what to expect when the James Webb Telescope is unveiled and what you think it may find?
Well, the James Webb Telescope, to be sure, it is not like Hubble. Hubble is an optical scope that has some IR capabilities that it can actually filter some of the light to determine like what the composition of that light might be in terms of gases on another planet. The James Webb Telescope is IR, and infrared, and it's going to see things that we're not able to see with Hubble. It will see in below what we can see with our own eyes, what Hubble can detect with its own mirrors and lenses. So it's not like a telescope in the sense that it's a long scope with like lenses and stuff. You know, it's not like that. It's not a telephoto lens on your camera in space. There are sensors that are cooled to darn near absolute zero to freeze the mirror. So there's no vibration of the atoms that make up that mirror. So there's no vibration in the electronics package that flies with it, that processes that image. They cool it down in the absolute zero range. And so it's going to be like no interference whatsoever. So you're going to get clear, concise images of the energy out there, the electromagnetic in the infrared region energy that's out there. And you're going to see space that you've never seen before. You're going to see manifestations of that energy you've never seen before. And my personal hope is that James Webb Space Telescope will be able to detect the appearance of craft coming into our solar system and leaving our solar system. If they leave an energy wake in its path, I'm hoping that that would happen. It's designed to peer like 200 million years after the Big Bang. They're going like way back. It's in fact a time machine of its own, if you want to use that word loosely. And the fact that they can look at something, because light takes so long to travel, they can go all the way back and look at light as it left the singularity we call the Big Bang 200 million years after. And with the estimated universe, the age of the universe, that's almost instantaneous to the creation of the universe. And that's what they want to see, what's out there. Northrop Grumman teases, and Northrop Grumman is the system integrator. Northrop Grumman teases that the James Webb Telescope will reveal the origins of humans. Looking back in the time and might tell us the origins of humans, where we came from and who we are. It's in their literature about the James Webb Telescope. So I have great hopes for that.
That's one to look forward to. Two more listener questions, John, and then very quickly to finish off with a quick fire in the remaining time we have before you hit that happy hour bar. Dave wants to know, really interesting question. Do you think that they were out there trying to get a reaction from phenomena during the recent USS Russell and USS Omaha incidents that we saw the footage from?
Yeah, I saw that footage. I would say this, that the infrared image you saw, that green screen, little circle, that is not the infrared system on board USS Omaha. It has a very sophisticated system. So that looked like someone's night vision equipment. Mm-hmm. That's not the official equipment on board the USS Omaha. It is remarkable. But as far as that's one where it detected triangular craft, I believe.
Yep.
Yes, on both of those. Sometimes I wonder if they being whoever's driving these craft, are basically saying, here we are, come find us. You know, just here's some more things to look at. It's almost like they're putting on a show for us. And that's my take on it. But I looked at that image and I looked at the scope picture. Now, I used to be in the Navy, and I know what the tactical data system looks like. I know the symbology used now, mil-spec 2525. There's certain symbology on that scope for an unknown, unidentified airborne contact. I did not see it on the scope image. And also, I point out that in CIC, you're not going to be taking personal images of that scope. That's not going to happen. That does not happen. So I don't know where that image came from. I don't know if it's official, because in the Navy, you can actually record that scope image electronically. And you can actually record the radar data electronically. You can go back and look at that data precisely. I don't question the fact that the craft appeared. I question, because the Navy said, yes, the craft did appear. That they said, yeah, the craft appeared. And they said, yeah, that looks like what we saw, but I don't know if that's official Navy imagery. It doesn't look official Navy imagery. It looks like someone snuck a video in. And
So, again,
the point is, there's better imagery that the government has that it's not revealing. But they allow the teasers taken by individuals to show up. But I want the real image.
Yeah, those teasers still ended up on CNN, Fox, Good Morning America, and other news networks around the world. And like you say, those control rods, if you're going to do it, that's a good way of kind of testing the water for the general populace. Final question, John, from Mark. We keep hearing, and you mentioned it, John, that there is a 23-minute video of a UAP or UAPs.
Yeah.
Given that the US degraded spy satellite photos in the Cold War to ensure our enemies didn't know our exact technical capabilities, is there any valid reason that the DOD could not release the 23-minute video degraded, so to speak, so it does not reveal any sensitive information or capabilities?
That's a good question for Louis. The only reason why I know about the 23-minute video is because he said there was a 23-minute video.
He has, yeah.
I know. But to answer the broader question, as far as imagery goes, I don't see why not. They can't release the entire video degraded somewhat. I don't know what the source of the video is. I don't know if it's from a U.S. Air Force aircraft with cameras on board, because we have several what we call intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, ISR aircraft. In fact, a lot of them fly from the U.K., combat sent and rivet joint. There's Cobra Ball flying in the Pacific, but Cobra Ball can also fly elsewhere. But they have some sophisticated cameras. and they can be easily downgraded because it doesn't show national technical means. They're more tactical in nature.
Can I ask your opinion, John? And this is because you mentioned it. You talked about those satellites being able to find an image on a 25-centimeter square bit of paper from 600 kilometers. Now, with this footage, I think there's always an assumption that it's taken over US space or water. Is there a chance that the 23-minute video is filmed using equipment over North Korea and that the US has footage of this UAP or UAPs, but it's over an area that they shouldn't be looking at, so that's why it's not allowed to be released?
The North Koreans know we're overflying their territory.
Oh, well, you know, North Korea, Russia, China, just whatever, but it doesn't... Would that even make a difference to you?
No, because, I mean, we know that the Russians overfly our territory with satellites. The Chinese overfly our territory with satellites. The Chinese overfly Russia. overfly Russia. I mean, we overfly everybody. And with, especially with Russia, I mean, we have treaty agreements that we can inspect each other's, for example, missile silos. Mm-hmm. We exchange data. I mean, every time the Russians were in the new START treaty, 5 times per year, the Russians will deliver their telemetry data about their missiles to us. We'll deliver our tests about our ICBMs to Russia. I mean, we had Russian officers inside a top secret lab because they were installing the equipment we needed to use to spin their tapes. So to speak, and we CIA had our technicians, our engineers, our analysts in their lab because they needed to spin our tapes. I mean, you'd be surprised the cooperation amongst intelligence services. It's almost like a professional courtesy kind of thing. You know, after it's all said and done, we go to the bar, have happy hour together. It's that kind of a relationship in many cases. It's not adversarial. The proxies are adversarial. To answer that question, I don't see why. I mean, the North Koreans know what we're looking at because we go to the six-party talks. We told the North Koreans, hey, we know you have a nuclear facility here in Pyongyang. Here's a picture of it. We want to know what's going on here. I mean, they know. So I don't think that would preclude showing it. I can't see
any reason, which is good to hear. And it is just a case. Well, I say it's good in one way, but it's just being kept back for other reasons that might not be valid.
I don't know. Maybe it's that somebody made a decision. Let's leave that rod in the nuclear reactor and not pull it out because that might cause a chain reaction with unintended consequences. I don't know. But again, I'd love to see it.
John, we're almost out of time. I'd like to finish off with a quick fire. I've got five subjects I'd like you to share just a couple of words or a sentence about that we've not managed to talk about yet in the body of the interview.
I'll try.
So the first one you've actually mentioned very briefly, but crop circles.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I believe in crop circles. I believe there are messages in crop circles. I have to believe that if there are messages in crop circles, it's not ignored. And the agency that will probably, NGA would be the agency that would have taken pictures of crop circles. By the way, we cannot image the UK. It's agreement that we don't spy on friends. So we do not image the UK. So a lot of crop circles occur in the UK. Mm-hmm. But we can't image that. But the UK government can. And so... I would have to believe, and I'm going way over time, the NSA might be able to interpret what's in the crop circles in terms of a message.
The next one would be your thoughts on remote viewing.
I actually have two remote viewing courses marketed by Major Ed Dames. One's a very old one, VHS, and one's a new one. I would say this, that... it's a true. I've actually seen remote viewing products. I didn't know they were remote viewing. They didn't tell me. And the remote viewers didn't know where the products went. So they do their drawings, they write up their reports, and it gets filed away. What it does is, what happens is, it comes to the weapons analyst, if it's a weapon, to DIA and CIA. So I actually had remote viewing products. I met Paul Smith. Dr. Paul Smith was a remote viewer. And he drew out at breakfast, he drew out something that he remote views. I remember that. This is this and this is that. He said, how do you know that? Because what you did came to me. So I made that connection with him. That was kind of cool.
Thank you for that one. The next one is the fact that there may be underwater bases at Catalina or Catalina Islands, something you alluded to before.
You know what? It's in Catalina is Special Forces, the SEALs down there, and they do exercise down there. I don't know about underwater bases. I mean, don't think of like James Bond movie underwater base. It would not surprise me that there are like, you know, a sub tender. I don't know if your audience knows what a submarine tender is, but it's a ship designed to service submarines that come alongside and, you know, they can service the submarines with equipment and so forth. It wouldn't surprise me if there's submersible U.S. Navy kind of assets like that, underwater submarine tenders. As far as a UAP presence underwater, we kind of know that because they're going in and out. Where they go, I don't know.
That seems to be a popular one.
And I would say this. I can say this as a FOIA point. The Navy has a program called Naval Special Programs, NSP. I can say that. It's heavily, heavily, heavily sapped. And that I can say that because my predecessor in the ELINT office at CIA, Gene Poteet, actually started the Naval, the NSP program, and he actually wrote about it in open source literature. So ask the Navy about that, and they're just freaking out because I said NSP, but I can source it. They're like getting the counterintelligence officer on my case any minute now.
Thanks for that one. Two more, John. The first one is alien abductions.
Yeah. Again, I was taken, and here's the difference. I wanted to be taken. I planted sunflower seeds, so they grow into sunflowers. But for some reason, I was downloaded that you need to do sunflowers. I don't know if that occurred anywhere in anyone else's experiences that sunflowers are important, but they took me, and I wanted to be taken because I wanted them not to bring me back. Please take me with you. Why am I here? And so that's my taken experience. Now for military abductions, again, your best source is Melinda Leslie.
And finally, are we heading towards confirmation or disclosure?
Well, one, I don't like the disclosure word, as you know. I like dissemination, and it's on some controlled schedule. Dissemination will lead to confirmation. They'll have to come up and say, okay, this is what's been happening. And this is where we really come from. Once they can say, this is where humanity actually came from, and this is why we don't look like our primate brothers and sisters at the zoo or in the wild, in the jungles. I don't like zoos. I like all animals to be free. When they can build that bridge, that's when you're going to get the full, I'll call it the fullness of faith. Because to me, I believe in faith-based ufology. I can't prove anything. It's like I can't prove God, but I know God exists in some way. You know, it's a personal religion kind of thing. No one can prove anything, but it's based on faith. And that's the way I approach ufology. It's faith-based. I believe it.
John, you've been really generous with your time. I appreciate you've made a big impact in a very small time frame in the UFO community. You've certainly caused a lot of topics of conversation. I appreciate your openness and your willingness to speculate at where possible too. What's next for you within the community? Are you planning on sticking around? Have you got more interviews planned? And what's next?
There are a lot of folks who reached out to me to do as you're doing today on various podcasts. I would say this, that I will stop talking. I will close my Twitter account and I will never breathe another word about this when they finally say we're hybrids. And that's where we came from. And because we're hybrids, those who created us as hybrids are here to help us. When they can say that, mission accomplished for me, because that's a big step forward in understanding who we are. I actually believe there are going to be people upset, but I hope it brings some sense of community of who we are, get rid of our differences, get rid of these petty differences based on skin color, national origin, all of that stuff. It's just, to me, it's nonsense. And if we just become Earth and recognize who we are, and I'll be happy, very, very happy.
That is all for this week's show. Thank you very much for listening. Please remember to leave the podcast a review on your chosen platform. You can like, retweet and subscribe. That would all be very much appreciated. The shows are being uploaded onto YouTube as we speak more and more. You can sign up at patreon.com/thatufopodcast to access the shows ad-free as well. Please get in touch on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, That UFO Podcast. Of course, on Twitter, it's @UFOUAPAM. And again, folks, as always, keep looking up. You never know what you might see.
It wasn't a tic-tac and not quite a saucer. More like a hubcap designed by Chaucer. A little baroque and quite steampunk, like Alice was playing bass for the Parliament of Funk. The little fucker hovered right outside of my window, and when I shoved out the screen, he made it an issue. I don't think he expected me to see his ass, but I'd had some champagne and smoked a little rat. Meditated again and stayed full on meta. Can't imagine how it could have been any better. I got to the top of the stairs and there he was. Like, you awake? I was about to abduct you, cuz. I jumped back and nearly kissed myself. Then I climbed out the window after the elf. And I woke up in my bed and there was something on my head. And everything was weird and everything was red. And I called out to my boys. They thought this was noise. They thought it was a dream. They thought it was my toys. They thought it was my problems. And they think I should take care of me. And I don't know what to do because it doesn't really scare me.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average, and those savings add up. Imagine what you could buy in the future.
So I used the savings from switching to Progressive 30 years ago to buy tickets to the championship game. You know, between those two teams that didn't exist 30 years ago. Yeah, I'm a big Alaska Palm Trees fan. Which is a team now? In the future?
So switch to Progressive and save big, because those savings can add up in the future. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National annual average insurance savings by new customer surveyed who saved with Progressive in 2020. Potential savings will vary.
El todo sea por un beso deal. Ya soñabas con llegar a McDonald's, ordenar tus McNuggets y tu Big Mac de siempre. Con extra pepinillos, extra salsa especial, extra cebolla, porque tú eres así, extra. Pero luego recuerdas que estás en una cuarta cita y quizá ordenar cebollas extra no sea la mejor movida. Hay un meal para cada cita en McDonald's. Ordena por anticipado por el app de McDonald's y llévate dos de tus favoritos, como McNuggets de 10 piezas y una Big Mac por solo $6. Precios y participación pueden variar, producto individual a precio regular.